Ruchim Aboyim to another week of Parsha Insights, Parshas Vayishlach. Tovshin Peva, Be'ezras Hashem, we should get inspiration from the Shir. Most importantly, it should enhance our Shabbos Kodesh. Share the Divrei Torah, share the machshavos and thoughts at your table with your family. Let it bring added Kedusha to our Shabbos Kodesh. Parsha Insights is sponsored by Zecher Nishmas Ule'ili Nishmas, Rebecca Bas Serina, and Leon ben Rachel. May the Neshama Tahiris have a lichtige Gan Eden. Be'ezras Hashem, for Parshas Vayishlach, there's so very much to talk about. We're going to talk about one episode, one Maisa in the Parsha. We're going to bring out a few different Akudais. It certainly could be said that it's one of the most fundamental stories, events that take place, certainly in our history, and that I'm referring to the battle, the grappling and the struggle between Yaakov and Sarah Shel Esav, the guardian angel of Esav, until it became morning. A very, very well-known episode. I want to bring out a few different Nekudas. Again, for all those who are in the Heichal, those who are listening live, and those who will hear the recording when it's sent out, Be'ezras Hashem, I hope these Divrei Torah will inspire us. The Pasuk says that we know, and it's based on this Pasuk, that we are not allowed to eat from the Gid HaNosha, the sciatic nerve. We'll see in a moment, it's a machlekes in the Gemara in Chulin, a fascinating machlekes of Tzadi Amid Beis, what part of the Gid HaNosha one can't eat from, and how we paskin. But you'll hear some incredible, extraordinary insights from the Be'er Yosef, Rabbi Yosef Tzvi Salant, where he explains what this debate in the Gemara is. But first, let's take a look at the puzzle. If you're looking inside, Lamed Beis Chavav, let's look inside. Lamed Beis Chavav. The Pasuk says regarding the struggle with the angel, that Yaakov Avinu was left alone, and this man wrestled with him, and when he saw that he could not overcome him, he struck him in the socket of his hip. And that's why the Pasuk says, let's read that inside, Vayarki lo yochol lo, when he saw that he wasn't able to overcome him, Vayiga bekaf yirecha, he struck him by the socket of his hip. And so the hip socket of Yaakov became dislocated as he wrestled with him. It's from this Pasuk, and the Torah later says this when the Pasuk says, Al Kain. It's for this reason that a person, if you look a few Pasukim later, Lamed Gimel, Lamed Beis, Lamed Gimel, Al Kain, Lo Yechlu B'nei Yisrael Es Gid HaNoshe. This is the reason that we are not allowed to go ahead and eat of the Gid HaNoshe, the sciatic nerve, the displaced sinew, by the hip socket, because that's where he struck Yaakov Avinu, on the displaced sinew. And this is, of course, the prohibition, as we've been talking about for the last couple of minutes, from eating the Gid HaNoshe. I think we're all familiar with that. Now let's introduce the Gemara in Chulin Daf Tzadi Amid Beis, which is extraordinary. The Gemara there brings down a machlokes between the Chachomim and Rabbi Yehuda. What part of the Gid HaNoshe, the sciatic nerve, is the part that's forbidden? The Chachomim, they say it's both sides, the right side and the left side of the animal. And they explained it because the Pasuk says that when Yaakov Avinu was struck, when he was seized, it was from the back. So since it was from the back, he was wounded on both sides, right and left. And therefore, when it says we can't eat the Gid HaNoshe, it means of both sides, the right side and the left side of the animal. Rabbi Yehuda argues, and Rabbi Yehuda says that it's only the right side that's forbidden, because Yaakov was struck only on one side, presumably that right side and not the left side. The Gemara discusses how Rabbi Yehuda knows that it wasn't the left side where Yaakov was struck, but it was fascinating. But it was the right side. But now we have to wonder, what's the deeper lesson for us? What's the far deeper penetrating significance for us, whether or not he was struck on the right, not the left, or whether it was both, and how we indeed pass? What does the right and left even represent? So listen to this incredible journey that the Be'er Yosef takes us on. He begins by reminding us that when we were given the Aseres HaDibros, of course we know that there are five commandments on the right side and five that were given, those on the left side. All ten, of course, were given by Har Sinai. The ones on the right side are essentially the ones that are Bein Adam LaMakom, between man and God. Anochi Hashem Lo Yihyeh. Zochor Es Yom HaShabbos. You might ask me a question, Kabed es Avicha ves Imecha, why is that on the side of Bein Adam LaMakom and not Bein Adam LaChaver, as indeed some ask? So there are multiple answers. For just part of the shir, I'm going to leave that question unanswered. And I'm hoping, Be'ezras Hashem, if I don't remember, feel free, even though this is being recorded and so many are going to hear, feel free to yell out that I forgot. Because I want to remember to tell you, based on the second shot we're going to say tonight, and try to tie it all together, why is Kabed es Avicha ves Imecha, which might be considered Bein Adam LaChaver for the left side, yet it's on Bein Adam LaMakom, the right side. But the point is that essentially, the five that are on the right side are all Bein Adam LaMakom. I don't think I told you anything new or novel. The five that are on the left side, Leisirtzach, Leisignai, don't steal, don't kill, don't desire, those are obviously on the left side because those are known as Bein Adam LaChaver, between man and fellow man. So now he says something so beautiful, and I see already that people are starting to think left, right, left, right, and now it's going to all start making so much sense. A person who practices meticulously as best as they can and continues to improve all of the Torah, sai the mitzvahs bein adam lachavero and the mitzvahs bein adam lamakim, you would consider that person walking firmly on both feet. He's walking firmly on both feet, meaning to say, the right foot as representing those on the right side bein adam lamakim, the left foot as representing the five on the left side bein adam lachavero. So one who practices and works on improving on all of the Aseres HaDibros, Kol HaTorah Kula, he works on the life of Bein Adam LaMakom and Bein Adam LaChaver. You would say about such a person, he's walking, she's walking firmly on both feet. But a person who perhaps works on one and doesn't take seriously the other, you might say that person is a person who is limping. He uses his right foot, not his left, or vice versa. And if he uses his right and not his left, that means he doesn't pay much attention to Bein Adam LaChaver. If he uses his left and not his right, it means that Bein Adam LaMakom is just not his thing. And both are, of course, incredibly wrong. We would refer to such a person as ignoring his obligation to Hashem, limping on his right foot, ignoring his obligation to his fellow friend, limping on his left foot. By the way, someone who explained brilliantly, that's the famous story in the Gemara Shabbos, where the Gemara Shabbos of Lamed Aleph tells us that what happened, somebody who wanted to convert to Yiddishkeit came to Hillel, of course, and he said to Hillel, teach me Kol HaTorah Kula Al Regel Achas, teach me all of Torah on one foot. But now, according to our explanation of what the right foot represents and what the left foot represents, we have to be a person who stands firmly on both feet, not just on one. And yet this person wanted to know, I want to accept Torah on one foot. Essentially, what was he saying? I want to accept, finish the sentence, come on. I want to accept only one path, one of the two pillars. And that's why Hillel replied to him, well, presumably, Hillel saw him as he stood on his left foot. His left foot meant that his footing of Ben Adam L'Chaverai seemed to breathe something reasonably well, and that's why he said to him, that's easy in a sense, Madal Chasani L'Chaver L'Chaverai, what's distasteful to you and hateful to you, don't do to others. We say it in the positive as well, V'yahaskol Arecha K'moicha Zekhav Gadol B'Torah. Because if you wanted on only one foot and you're standing on your left foot, then presumably that one is easy for you. However, he then said, regarding the rest, that you have to go and study. Regarding that, it requires much more explanation, because for that, presumably, I see you're not using that foot, you're limping on the right side, which means you have to go and learn all about Bein Adam L'Machay. Incredible. Now we come to our parsha. The Sora Shalais of the guardian angel of Esav, Satan, that's Satan, he wanted to attack Yaakov and undermine him in both areas. Both Bein Adam L'Chaverai, Bein Adam L'Machay, but he failed. If you take a look at the pasuk, look inside for a moment, Lamed Beis Chaf Tes. Let's do this together, Chevre, look inside. Lamed Beis Chaf Tes. He says, we're no longer going to call you Yaakov. We're going to call you Yisrael. Everybody, look inside. We're no longer going to call you Yaakov. We're going to call you Yisrael. Why? And here he's essentially telling Yaakov that I tried to undermine you in both areas, but I failed. And what does he say? Kisarisa, because you fought. You were striving im Elokim, the im Anoshim. Im Elokim represents the area of Ben Adam Lamokim. Im Anoshim represents the area of Ben Adam L'Chaver Vatucha, but you were successful. You persevered. You fought through your obligations in the dimension of both Elokim Ben Adam La Anoshim Ben Adam L'Chaveroi. In other words, Yaakov was successful against Satan. Might we interject for about 20 seconds an extraordinary gematria? He just changed his name from Yaakov to Yisrael. Yaakov has the numeric value, I believe, of 182. Yisrael has the numeric value of 541. I didn't check it before this year. I checked it a while ago, so I hope it's still correct. I'm sure people now are going to be writing. In fact, I see you're writing. Make sure that I'm right. What's the numeric difference between 541 and 182? What's the difference between those two numbers, 182 and 541? I believe the difference should be 359. I believe it should be 359. Is that correct? Satan, Shin Tes Nun, is 359. The difference between Yaakov, whose numeric value is 182, and Yisrael, where the numeric value is 541, what's the numeric differential between those two numbers? 359. Satan, Shin Tes Nun, is exactly 359. Because when Yaakov Avinu was successful in the battle, Im Elokim Va'anoshin, and he overcame Satan both in Bein Adam L'Machom and Bein Adam L'Chaveru, he conquered Satan. So that 359 became added to his name. So now his name is Yisrael 541. Let's take it further. But 1 minute. Are we learning the story correctly? Because I believe when we started this year, we said that Yaakov Avinu was struck in the Gid Hanasha, whether you hold like the sheath of the Chacham or Reb Yehuda, he was wounded in that part of his thigh. So to that, the Ber Yosef explains, Yaakov Avinu, Vayavo Yaakov Sholem, Yaakov was complete, Yaakov achieved that Shlemos, both Bein Adam L'Chaver and Bein Adam L'Machom, as I just told you, Im Elokim V'Anoshim. When his thigh was struck and wounded, that symbolized the future of Klal Yisrael. Not Yaakov per se, but his children, the generations. How about the way we look in 5786 Tashem Pei Vav? Where would you say we've been wounded? Right, left, both? What would you say? Well, think about it. And this is how he wants to explain the Machlekes. Rabbi Yehuda made a comment that the only part that's prohibited was the only part that was wounded, and that was the right side, not the left side. Because Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion that the left side really remained intact. That left side represents Bein Adam Lamachim, excuse me, Bein Adam Lachaveroi. And if you take a look at many, many people, even a person who may not know the ways of the Torah, a religious person, whoever it might be, they might be fairly ethical. They might display tendencies to give tzedakah. So you could certainly say, as Rabbi Yehuda apparently feels, that the Bein Adam Lachaver was there. But he concluded that having been struck on the right side represents we will be sorely lacking and limping in the area of the right side. But on that, the Chachamim disagree, and the Chachamim say and recognize, if one side suffers, the other side suffers. You can't go ahead and practice one and consider yourself not lacking in the dimension of the other. In other words, if a person is lacking in the dimension of Bein Adam Lamakom and that suffers, then human relations will also suffer as well, and there will be a terrible, terrible decline in Bein Adam Lachaveroi. You want to see a fabulous proof to this, he says. We don't have to turn, but I'll quickly reference for those who want to know. When one takes a look earlier, take a look at Parshas Vayera. We learned it about a month ago. Perek Chaf, Pasuk Yud Aleph. Chaf Yud Aleph. Avram Avinu is talking about, and he says to Avimelech in that pasuk, Rach en yiras Elokim b'makom hazeh. He first bemoans the fact that there is no yiras Elokim. There's no fear of God in this place. And what's the very next thing he says? And then, because of my wife, they're going to go ahead and kill me. You see that in the pasuk. In other words, what Avraham Avinu was teaching us is that if a person lives without Hashem, if a person lives chalila godless, if a person lives without any yirah shamayim, as, by the way, you see throughout history, people who don't serve Hashem, people who don't feel the need to realize the importance of yirah and serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu, sometimes reach new heights of brutality, sometimes reach new levels of inhumanity, because it is impossible to limp on the right side and not also severely be affecting your left side. That's not possible, the Chachamim say. If a person, Chalila, thinks they could abandon Hashem and then we're left to decide what's moral and what's not, Chalila Rachmana Litzlan, you know what could happen. And that, he says, explains what it means he was struck from behind. Remember when we began the shiur, we said Yaakov Avinu was struck from behind? Behind sometimes is a reference to in hindsight. The comment being struck from behind could mean in hindsight. Sometimes in hindsight we take a look, looking at the descendants of Yaakov Avinu, and we see that they were indeed struck in both realms, in both worlds, in both dimensions, side of five dibros on the right and side of five on the left. And that's why lehalacha, in fact, the halacha, it's the sinew, the gidanosha, on both sides of the animal that's forbidden. Because like the chachamim, it's impossible to be lacking in one and for it not to directly impact and affect the other. A person who's lacking in Bein Adam Lamakom, their Bein Adam Lachavera will spiral way out of control. So this is an extraordinary way to learn the entire battle that took place, right side, left side. For Yaakov, it was Sholem. He overcame Sakon, hence his name was changed to Yisrael, but we, the descendants, are left with this battle. And I do say we should ask ourselves before we move to the second part of the shir, and then I do know I have to answer that question about Bein Adam lachaveiro and kibud avaim, but ask ourselves about, are we limping on the right side? And of course, I'm talking spiritually. Are we limping on the left side? Which part, what is it in our relationship that needs constant work? But now let's bring it to the second part of the shiur, and then at the end, try to tie it all together. Rav Yosef Nechemya Kornitzer tells us something incredible regarding this story. If you take a look, the pasuk tells us regarding the struggle between Yaakov and the angel, guardian angel of Esav, as they struggle, the dust as a result of the wrestling, the grappling, the fighting, was kicked up. It was moved around. What does that represent? So listen to what Rav Yosef Nechemya tells us so beautifully, and then we'll try to answer that opening question. If you take a look, the Pasuk in Vayikra says that when Moshe and Aaron entered the Ohel Moed, they came out and they gave a bracha to Klal Yisrael. In Vayikra, I'll turn quickly, Perek Tes, Pasuk Chav Gimel. The Pasuk says, Vayetu, that after they came out, Vayivarchu Esa'am, they gave a bracha to Klal Yisrael, the pasuk that I just quoted. Rashi speaks that after Moshe taught Aaron about the Ketairis, the incense, they blessed Klal Yisrael that the Shechina should rest upon the work of their hands. The Gemara in Yuma Daf Chav Vav Amud Aleph tells us that Ketairis incense represents wealth. It brings a person wealth. Now, what does that mean? What is a person supposed to do with wealth? There's a well-known, again, a machlekes. This one's between Rav Shimon bar Yochai and Rabbi Shmuel. It's a Gemara in Brachos. And there the question is, what should a Jew dedicate their life to? Anything exclusively? So it almost sounds a little bit similar. Right side, left side. But this will be slightly different in terms of the spiritual, the physical. The physical, the spiritual. The ruchlius, the gashmius. Which is it? Famously, it's a well-known machlekes. Rav Shimon bar Yochai insists that a person should dedicate themselves exclusively to Torah, all of the Ruchnias, relying on Hashem and Hashem alone for his sustenance. Rabbi Shmuel says that type of devotion is rare. And therefore, Rabbi Shmuel recommends that one pursue both Torah and a livelihood. Who do we follow? The first sheikah of Shimon bar Yochai? The second sheikah of Rabbi Shmuel? So if you take a look at the Shulchan Aruch, Arachayim he brings down, we have, so to speak, a compromise. A person has to know Hashem. Bechol derachecha de'ehu, know him in all your ways. Mishle, Perikim, Apostle Vav. What does it mean to know him in all your ways? That means both in the spiritual and in the physical, the earthly material pursuits, meaning to say that make sure when you engage in the gashmias and you pursue the different monetary earthly pursuits, that it's with heavenly intentions. That's the way we paskin. We pursue both the ruchnias and the gashmias. But the gashmias is for bechol nirachecha de'ehu, to enhance are ruchnias. A person is going to earn the money, but that's to go ahead and to pay for schar lima, for my child's tuition. That's to go ahead and to be able to give tzedakah even more magnanimously, not to squander it on things that are ridiculous. A person, when they go to sleep, can certainly have in mind, I'm sleeping now, so that when I wake up, I'll be able to serve the Ribbono Shel Olam with more vigor and strength. So there certainly is the pursuit of the material, of the gashmias, of the earthly pursuits, but it's to be used for heavenly intentions. It's to be used to further our avodas habayre. As a very quick aside, I know it's not new, but it really should be mentioned. A beautiful proof to this is we've said countless times, the name of Hashem is Yud with a Hey, then a Vav, and the last letter Hey, we don't say those four letters together. If a person takes a look at almost everything in the realm of Ruchnius, it has two common letters, a Vav and a Hey. Torah has a Vav and a Hey. Mitzvah has a Vav and a Hey. Kedusha has a Vav and a Hey. Mikvah has a Vav and a Hey. Avodah has a Vav and a Hey. Tahira has a Vav and a Hey. Should we go on? Many things in the physical have a Yud and a Hey. Achila has a Yud and a Hey. Shtia, to drink, has a Yud and a Hey. Lina, to sleep, has a Yud and a Hey. I mentioned this years ago, and somebody said to me, don't leave out pizza. Pizza has a Yud and a Hey. But be it as it may, the world of the spiritual has the Vav and the Hey. The world of the physical has the Yud with the Hey. And sometimes before a mitzvah, we say, what's the purpose of the mitzvah? Liyached Shem, to unite the names of the Yud and the Hey together with the Vav and the Hey. Now you can appreciate what it means. It means to bring together the spiritual and the physical. That I use the physical, Bechol Derechecha De'eyu, for heavenly intentions to raise up my spirituality. What an incredible, incredible way to understand the Lashem Yichud, of bringing together the name of the Yud and the Hey, representing the physical together with the Vav and the Hey, representing the spiritual, is to bring it together. And to conclude, a person who does this is always serving Hashem. They're raising the physical to a spiritual plane. That's Yaakov Avinu. Oh, I know how that's Yaakov Avinu. The Medrash in Shir HaShirim tells us something. It is so extraordinary. I wonder, looking around the people in the Heichal, if we were familiar with this. All of the Jewish prosperity, all of the wealth Klal Yisrael has in this world, where do we get that wealth from? Where does it stem from? Where's the origin of all of that prosperity? It comes from the dust that was kicked up in this week's parsha, when there was a scuffle between Yaakov and the guardian angel of Esav. Dust was kicked up. That's us that was kicked up as a result of the scuffle. The Medrash in Shir HaShirim, Gimel Vav tells us, is where all of the prosperity to the world is derived. In fact, the Gemara in Chulin says that that dust ascends to the Kisei HaKavod. That dust ascends to the Kisei HaKavod? But we just said that the dust represents the prosperity and the physical. Why is it ascending to the lofty, lofty, lofty Kisei HaKavod? But for the last 7 minutes, it's so crystal clear. Because that dust represents that we take the prosperity, we kick it up to unite the two names of Hashem. And when you elevate the physical to such a sublime, extraordinary level of the spiritual, where does that physical, where does that prosperity go? To the Kisei HaKavod. So great was your success in bringing about heaven through that which you have on earth. By the way, maybe that explains last week's parsha. When we had a parsha of Vayetzei, the dream between Yaakov's dream and the ladder. What do we say about the ladder? The ladder really connected. What did the ladder connect? Heaven and earth. Heaven and earth. Earth and heaven. Angels going up and down. Maybe now we could understand the ladder, the sulam connecting heaven and earth with this new dimension. What does it mean to connect heaven and earth? To bring the earth up to heaven. To bring the dust up to the Kisei HaKavod. To elevate the prosperity and the physical to levels of spiritual devotion. Yaakov saw that in his dream. Earth and heaven indeed touching. The physical and the spiritual, like the name of Hashem, becoming one. Yaakov Avinu, that was his life. He bought the Bechayra, the birthright, from Esav. That represents the spiritual. He yielded the physical for the spiritual. But then Yaakov took back the physical brachos as well. And it's that legacy of Yaakov Avinu having both the spiritual and the physical. Really, that's the fight in this week's parsha. The fight in this week's parsha is the fight over that legacy. Yaakov is going to fiercely, fiercely want to have both the spiritual and the physical, because why do we have the prosperity, as the dust indicates? To go up to Shemayim, to show all the good that we can do with it. And the guardian angel of Esav is always attacking and fighting because it wants to remove and take back the physical. It wants to detach the physical from the spiritual. This was the fight. This was the battle that till today we have. We have to show that we could use all of this physical spirit, the physical blessings, and that all of the materialism we have in our life for spiritual purposes, bringing together heaven and earth. After all, Rabbi Yisai, is that not the main purpose? Hashem has given us brachos, prosperity, physical gifts, materialism, things that we're able to enjoy. Enjoy them. Make sure, like the Shulchan Aruch says, "Bechol derechecha de'ei, use it la'avodas habayri." How about you dream, and you connect heaven with earth? How about you dream and bring that dust up to Shemayim? And by the way, that's why, to conclude, it's so apropos, and I know we have to answer the question before we leave, that this all began with the Keteiros, because the Keteiros was essentially that wonderful fragrance, and all of a sudden, what happens to the Keteiros as it's burnt? It goes up in smoke, because the truth is, that's what happens with so much of the physical. It just goes up in smoke. But the Gemara increases, the Bavel and Beis tells us that the pillar of smoke of that Keteiros, where did it rise up to? Where did it rise up to? The Gemara increases, Bavel and Beis. Where did that pillar of smoke rise up to? It would rise straight up to heaven. Because the Keteiros, which is exactly where we started off when Moshe and Aaron gave us a bracha, that we should have that work in our hands, that means our work should also rise up to heaven. Like the Keteiros, it doesn't go up in smoke quite literally. It goes up in smoke, but it's elevated to the loftiest heights, to Shemayim. And that's really our Avodah. So I think to conclude, we could answer the opening question and tie the entire shir together, I believe, because we asked the question, why is Kibud of Aim, if it primarily seems to be Ben Adam HaChavero, why is it on the side of Ben Adam HaMakom? I believe it's from the Shlach HaKadosh that we mentioned a few months ago, that every mitzvah that a person has contains both a guf and a neshama. Every mitzvah has a guf and a neshama. The guf of that priceless, exquisite one of the dibros on the right-hand side, kabed es avicha ves imecha. What's the guf? Honor your father and mother. What's the neshama of that mitzvah? To bring you closer to Avinu Shebashamayim. The guf, kabed es avicha, to physically honor your father and mother, is to bring you to the soul, the essence, the heart of that mitzvah, the neshama, which is to bring us closer to Avinu Shebashamayim. And that's why kabed es avicha ves imecha is clearly on the right side, on the right foot, because it's all about the neshama, the essence of Ben Adam Lamakom, bringing us closer to Hashem. And that is what combining earth with heaven does as well. It allows our physical, our prosperity, our material wealth, like the Keteiros, when used correctly, b'chol derechecha de'ehu, to not go up in smoke, but to go up in smoke, like the Gemara in Krisa says, to where? Heaven. And that's why the dust makes it up to the Kisei HaKavod, because that dust represents the source of all of our prosperity, when used correctly, becomes something so sublime. I give all of us a bracha, as we're going to read the extraordinary battle and struggle and fight between Yaakov and the guardian angel of Esav and all of the dust, that it should allow us and enable us to strive to have both feet firmly planted, both feet representing the right and the left, Ben Adam HaMakom and Ben Adam HaChavero. When one is affected, it really causes tremendous, tremendous imbalance to the other as well. And having both of those feet firmly planted on the ground will remind us that all of that which we have in earth is to make it something so heavenly and so special. Thank you.